Thank you. That helps a lot. I've just been called abnormal before I even get. Well, I can tell you there's nothing weird about wearing a gas station shirt to church that was sponsored. It was given to us one of our many sponsors.
I'm wearing my Father's Day shirt.
Your father, Baba, okay.
That's what the boys call me.
Okay. I don't hardly get a sponsor, so we don't
know. Okay, all right. So, DX has been out of business for many, many years. That's why I thought it was funny. Okay.
I remember those guys.
So, let's start with this. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your grace. And Lord, speak to us today, Lord, by your word. And Father, as we open our hearts and our minds and our spirits, Lord, to be changed by your word, speak to us today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I was praying last night and was reminded of this song. I've been kind of going back through some lyrics that we've sang through the years. And I was thinking about Father's Day, thinking about the joy that brings me. I think about the pain that brings me. And I know that there are people today that it's going to be joyful and painful, and it's a interesting day. But I just want to read these lyrics. Corey Ashbury wrote this a while back and caused a bunch of controversy. Bunch of fussing and fighting. Theologians were at each other by the throat. So please don't do that until the meeting's over. Okay, do that later if you want to choke one another. Do that in the privacy of your own home, please. So, before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. Is that what the Bible says? Okay, he chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth. He knew you in the secret place before you were formed in your mother's womb. Is that the truth? Is that what the Bible says? Is the Bible the truth, or is it, and everything else is a lie? Your doubt, your fear, your shame, that's a lie. That's something that the devil's using against you. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so kind to me. Anybody here ever been through anything you didn't like? There's just nobody saying anything. No, everybody's going. Okay. So, but the truth is, it's not all grins and giggles. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. This is where the theologians went, God's not reckless. God's not. Oh, you can imagine if they got stirred up. Oh, people, turn that off the radio. God's not reckless. Hey, he may not be reckless. Maybe they used the wrong word. But what he is not is logical. Because I would have given up on man. The flood would have been, I would have turned the boat over on the flood and just went on, you know. I'd have stuck with the animals. Anyway, but let the dinosaurs eat everybody. If there was such thing, you know, that's speaking of controversy, you know, they're just bones. Anyway, so listen to what it says. Okay. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down. Have you been chased by God yet? Has his Holy Spirit hemmed you in to a place and you're saying, okay, God, you were right. If that hadn't happened to you, you know, you hadn't lived, you know, I'm almost 37 now, and, you know, in some animal years. But anyway, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, and leaves the 99. Does the Bible say that he leaves the 99 that are safe and go and find the lost one? Does it say that? And I want to tell you, we're black sheep of the family, but we are sheep, okay? And we are black sheep looking for lost sheep. And when I saw that the other day, it's been a month ago or whatever, time flies when you're having fun. But I was like, God, I get it. I couldn't earn it. Can you earn it?
No.
Can you earn it? I'm going to tell you something. I can be like fairly good while y'all are watching. And when Kim's watching, I can even do better. I can even do better because I'm working toward those brownie points, you know. So those weekends, you know, on parole and stuff, I guess, occasionally. But anyway, but the point being is, seriously, guys, you did not earn it. You don't deserve it, okay? But still, he gave himself away over the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. I want you to think about that. While I was your foe, you still, your love fought for me. I want to tell you, he just wouldn't give up. And that we're talking about fathers today, and not much in this service, but in the first service coming, we're talking a lot about it. But I want to tell you something. God doesn't quit. And I don't know of a dad that does. So you've been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so kind to me. So that's as far as I'm going down there. We're going to start with Psalms 145. That's 2 pages worth of that. And Google it, listen to it. I've only listened to it about 4 times the last 24 hours. So Psalms 145, we are starting on a new one. A praise of David. I want to start out with this. The first note that I have by the first 3 verses is one word: warfare. Now I want you to get this. This is for somebody, and it may be for me. You know, I go back and watch these during the week, make sure I didn't fall off platform and say something bad. But anyway, it needs to be deleted. But watch this, guys. I'm serious, okay? What the Bible says over and over, and shows us examples of it with kings fighting enemies. It shows us examples. And here's the deal, guys. Worship and praise is warfare. When we bring the sacrifice of praise to the Lord, it does something. And he says, in all things, praise the Lord. Is that what it says? Not say for all things. If I stub my toe, I don't say, no, praise the Lord, thank you, I'm so glad, my toe feels so bad, it hurts so bad, oh, that's it. No, I don't do that. But what I do is I thank the Lord I didn't break my toe. I thank the Lord it could, you know, this is a small thing in comparison to what some of my friends are dealing with right now. There are people watching this morning that are dealing with life-altering physical things. I'm going to say bad stuff that they're fighting right now, okay? There's people at home that are fighting bad stuff. There's people that are in the hospitals. And here's the deal. In the middle of that, let's praise him, because we can always praise him for who he is. I will extol you, my God, O King, and will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. My second, but the little point under the first point is this. Guys, I want to remind you this morning, if you're just new to watching, if you're whatever, you're just got into the game, just know this. Whatever you thought about God, that box that you put him in, well, he couldn't do that. Read the Bible. Yes, he can. Okay. Oh, that's that kid. No, listen. God is God. He is either God or not. Is God God?
Yes.
And we all, as a body, we had some friends who lost some people close to them. I'm going to be very generic. I did her funeral. I did, and in the middle of all that, and watching the her body degrade and watching her literally die. Of course, I went through it with my dad, I went through it with my mom, but this was someone who's my age, you know, who's young. And the bottom line is this, as that happened, I want to tell you something. What I saw over and over and over in her, through her, was that God was enough. And you say, well, why didn't he heal her? Listen, we're all going to heaven. Okay? If you are a child of the Most High God, that is the healing. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. If I was something wrong with me right now, if I was hurt somewhere, I say, God, help me get better so I can finish this service. You know, I believe in healing. I believe in it. I know he is, read the New Testament. Okay? He healed in person. He healed through his spirit. Okay? Look at the Old Covenant. Elijah and Elisha. When I read them every time, I say, oh, yeah, it's beautiful. Anyway, he's a healer because he's a daddy and he loves you, okay? So here's the deal. But it always doesn't work out, but he's bigger than we think he is. And in actually her death, he was glorified. And you're like, how does that even work? I don't know. He's God, I'm not. Okay? So his greatness is unsearchable. So now go down to verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, on your wondrous works. The second point this morning, if you're taking notes, the first one is warfare. Choose to praise him when it's not good or when it's good. I tell you what, it's like you need to practice before you play a game. So my victory on Sundays is not won here. It's won before I get here. It's my study time. It's my prayer time. It's my crying out to God time. And that the victory for Sundays is so that I can continue to do what I do. But this, the second is this. Second word is mentorship, okay? I want you to hear this. One generation shall praise your works to another. It's not always, listen, I have mentored people who are older than me. I was just further down the path of where we're all going. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And because it's not a year's thing, but it can be a year. They, you know, Kim's over there right now preaching the gospel to our children. Okay. Surrounded by grapes and oranges. I don't know why she keeps buying all that fruit. I guess she thinks they need healthy snacks. What happened to the cheap cookies and the sugary Kool-Aid we used to get? And we'd come over here for this service and we'd go like this. Okay. Why can't you sit still? Because I've drank a gallon of sugar. Anyway, yeah, things change, okay? All right, for the better, is that okay? There you go, there's an optimist. All right, I like them. Okay, I need to be surrounded up because my glass is always a little empty and there's a leak at the bottom, so you know, and I'm always looking for the duct tape. So, all right, but let's choose to be not just examples, shining examples, look at me, whoa, look at me. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Well, that's my favorite song. Okay. So what I am talking about, though, is choosing to step up and say, you know what? I don't know everything about the Bible because the enemy will beat you to death with what you don't know. I don't know everything about the Bible. Well, neither do I. Okay, but it don't keep me from doing what God's called me to do. I know this is shocking to a lot of y'all. This is gonna be shocking. I was not the best student in school. I know that's shocking. I might have been slightly distracted from time to time by anything other than what was. If I would be quiet, they would leave me alone and mostly let me pass. Because, you know, I was entertaining the entire class and some people in the hallway. So let's decide we are going to be the men and women God's called us to be. And the way we do that is verse 6. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. I want to tell you, I was actually thinking about this when I was printing off these lyrics earlier and thinking about what music has meant to me in my walk with the Lord, okay? I want to tell you, there's a place in this, I'm not going to get all sciencey on you, all nerdy, okay? But there's a place, there really is a place in your brain that responds to melody, okay? In other words, when the thing singing is mentioned in the Bible, it's not by mistake. It's not just because right now I can tell you, I can hear a song, my brain goes to that place, okay? I will even remember some of the things that I hadn't thought about in years. And I'm not talking about bad memories or horrible memories or even really necessarily fantastic memories. I'm just talking about memory, okay? And guys, I want to tell you, I was in Alaska struggling many years ago. And my mentor, talking about mentors, okay, Pastor Bresco, I want to tell you something. Bill was an interesting guy. I needed an interesting guy. I did not need the typical pastor, wipe your shoes off before you come in the house. Okay. Let me tell you the man who mentored me, and after I left home, this was for 1 year. He mentored me for 1 year. Let me tell you about how the kind of people God uses. Okay. So Bill spotted me. I came to something he had on base. I don't know what it was. And the Lord told him I needed some help. And the Lord's always right. Okay. And he come over to the house. Came over to where I was standing. Didn't have a house. I had a room. He came over there and said, "Hey, you want to talk sometime?" I go, "Talk about what?" He said, "You have supper." I said, "Oh, yeah. Anything but chow hall. Yeah. He said, "Okay, how about Wednesday? What time do you get off?" I said, "I'm working day shift now." I said, "I get off like 3:30. He said, "I'll pick up about 5. Is that okay?" Yeah. So he already acted a little different, okay, than you would think an average pastor would, you know. It's Alaska, okay? So anyway, a little bushy, let's just put it like that. So he came by to pick me up in this Toyota, which I hadn't worn a Toyota in years at that point. There was smoke billowing out of the back of it. And he pulls up there, I get in, I kind of think, oh, I hope we make it. I get in, we're driving to 10 miles back to the village, okay, where he lived. And we're driving, and this thing that looks like a small chicken walks out in the yard, out in the road. He goes, hits it with his car, pulls over, jumps out of the back, gets it, grabs it by the neck, goes, rip, 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 and throws it in the trunk. He goes and says, "You like chicken?" I go, "I think so." I did till I saw where this one came from. You think I'm exaggerating. This is not an exaggeration. This is the first time we were together, okay, other than him speaking at a place I was at. We get there. His wife, Crystal, is from Germany. And she talks like this. And I'm like, that's interesting. Okay. And come to find out, he's a retired GI. He had spent, I think, 8 years in the Navy and then 12 years in the Air Force as a mechanic. They changed his aircraft, so he changed services. "I ain't working on that. I'm going to change working on what I want to." So he went to the one where he could work on his aircraft after his time was up. And then met in Bible school. Okay, now he's probably 40-something. because he's retired at probably 38 to 40, he's probably 45, 48. And they met in Bible school, finished their Bible training, and went to Chalkitzik, which is a village of 400 or 500 people up in the bush inside the Arctic Circle, and ministered there for 6 years. And I could tell you more about that. I'll just tell you one little quick story about the knife fight during church. And because that sticks out, you know, a lady had come to church and her husband had told her not to, and he shows up with a knife and he tries to stab people. And they, this is before that was popular, you know, and they restrained him and took his knife away and threw him out. Okay. And I said, well, what did the church look like? He said, well, there's no electricity, there's no plumbing, there's no anything. He said, we lived in a little place and we'd light the lamp and we'd pull the curtain across where our bed was so that then we'd have a little thing with stand we set up, and then there'd be 10 or 14, 12 people coming in and we'd have church. Think about it. Is that a sacrifice to bring the gospel? See, God needed to give me somebody tough.
Yep.
I didn't need somebody who was going to tell me the 17 different ways to divide the theological thinkings of so-and-so. I didn't need that. I need somebody to kick me in the hind end. Okay? And then we had supper. We prayed together. He took me home. Okay? He said, what are you doing for a car? I said, I don't have one. He said, well, how are you going to get back and forth to church? I said, well, you want me to come to church? He said, yeah, yeah. He said, you need me to pick you up? I go, I'm off on Sundays. I said, I could come. And he goes, let's turn around. So they go back to his house. He walks in there and gets some keys to his other vehicle and hands me his keys. And so he goes out there and he says, oh, this goes with it. He gives me a 5-gallon can of oil, not gas. No, you think I'm kidding. I crank it up. The same fog machine from the Toyota is connected to that. And I'm thinking, how many miles has this got on? He said, oh, I don't know. I think we were overhauled it the first time at 250,000. I don't, you know. And it's a 2-wheel drive Chevrolet pickup with a camper on it. And I'm hooping it back to the base. And I'm thinking, they're not even going to let me on base with this thing. And I pulled over and I looked and said, oh, he was retired. So it had a base sticker on it. Said, so, and for the next 3 or 4 or 5 months, I used his truck until a friend of mine brought my truck up. See, that's what it takes to mentor people. So, and what an example. And well, I could tell a lot of stories about Bill, and I will another time. I miss him greatly. I need to call him. I think he's like 90-something now. So, anyway. Oh, by the way, he won the Seniors Olympics in Washington in swimming. And when he was 80-something, he could swim like a mile and a half. Yeah, he was tough. He was not scared of nothing. So, anyway. Men, speak mighty of your awesome acts. I will declare your greatness. They shall utter memory of your great doings and sing of your righteousness. Now, these four words, I began to look at this. So what you do, so I'm at the grocery store. Okay, I go occasionally. Okay, by the way, it's back open. It was down for a week. Bam, it's back. Okay, saves me that trip. Anyway, so I go to the grocery store and somebody says, oh, Bruce, I was so sick and they prayed for me and I feel better. I say, oh, that's praise the Lord. Okay, that's me speaking, them speaking. That's you see this first word? I'll speak of your mighty acts, okay? Second word is declare. That's more what I'm doing this morning, okay? This is not just a happenstance thing. We got together and I am declaring your greatness. This next thing is I will utter the memory of your great goodness. That's us sitting around the fire. That's us sitting around the table and saying, well, you know, God did this. God did this. God took care of me here. God did this. God did. You see how it's different ways that we're supposed to do this. And I shall sing of your righteousness. And I want to tell you something. There's nothing like being attacked. I'm talking about spiritually. And it's the middle of the night. Kim was actually talking about in the middle of the night on one of these songs. We'll be talking about that. We'll be singing that song in a minute. Good, good Father. But literally, guys, doubt, fear, shame is coming against you. And you choose to, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. And you know, I literally, a lot of times in my prayer time, I will be saying words to songs that I know. I mean, it's because, Lord, how good, how great are you, oh God? You know what I mean? I mean, because it's when you sing and when you come to those doubts, those fears, that shame, when it comes, begin to proclaim him, begin to sing the reality. And you say, I can't sing. Yes, you can. I don't care if you're on tune. I'm not there. Okay. You know, we've had people before sing so loud in church that I would love to have moved them to a different portion because they were throwing me off. But anyway, but that's the point. Hey, make a joyful noise. You hear me? Make a joyful noise. And the Lord is gracious. We're in verse 8. And full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. I want to tell you, there's a whole world out there fussing and fighting right now. Amen. And I've been on this for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 10 weeks. I don't know. It comes up every week. The whole world's out there fussing. Right now, okay, I'm not even going to get into that. Fussing, fighting, finger pointing. It's your fault. This is your fault. This is your fault. Your fault. And I want to tell you something. When you take that, oh, great, the motorcycles are coming. I hope they're stopping. Anyway, but the... No, I'm not distracted. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It'll be fine. But here's the deal. Literally, guys, the whole world is, and they are waiting. John chapter 16, the world is waiting. They're waiting. Oh, they didn't stop.
Squirrel.
One of them looks familiar. Anyway, so the point, we just had people in Congress go, okay, now they're grabbing their head. Okay, but here's the point, guys, literally. John, Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's about to be nailed to the cross for the sin of the world. And he's praying. And he says, God, please, please let them love one another. Those who come after me, let them love one another so the world will know that I am from you. Is that what John says? Is that what Jesus said? Are we doing that?
Nope.
I am. And I'm going to stand before the Lord. He said, you didn't get nothing else right, but you did that. Praise God. Your name's written in the Lamb Book of Life. Come on in. You messed up this over here and you did it. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to choose to love my brothers and sisters. Because it's not an emotional thing. Because the love it's not talking about is that little twinkle I have in my heart for you. It's me choosing the best for you. Because God died on the sin his only begotten son that whosoever believe won't perish but have everlasting life. And I'm going to be good to you because he loves you. He died for you. And you may not be as smart as I am because, you know, there's very few people that are. That's a joke. Okay. You might not have it all together like I do because very few people do. Because, you know, we've got Facebook and I'm faking it. We got Instacool, Instagroom, Instapoop, whatever it is. Okay. Right? Right? So are you following me?
Yep.
You know, oh, look at me. Oh, look at me. Yeah. Yeah, whatever. I'm not making fun of nobody. I'm making fun of myself. I like to take pictures of my food because it ain't going to complain. Okay? Yeah. I post some interesting hot stuff on there from time to time. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I can eat barbed wire. Okay, anyway, sorry. All right. On fire with gasoline. Okay. So, Is the Lord gracious and full of compassion? If he wasn't, this earth would be on fire now.
Amen.
Okay. Is he slow to anger and great in mercy? If he wasn't, he'd have given me the left foot of fellowship many, many years ago. If you don't know what that means, I'll explain it to you later. Okay. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over his works. Okay. Verse 10. We got about 4 minutes. All your works shall praise you, O Lord. And I've got a note here. I want to tell you what's very interesting. And, you know, I knew this in my heart. I knew this in my heart. You ever know something, but you just can't, you don't have no words for it. Okay. 40 years ago. Okay. That wouldn't be right because I'm only 37. So a few years ago. Okay. I was reading the Bible and I saw something and I was like, you know what? That answers a lot of questions. No, I'm dead serious. I saw this little that answers a lot of questions. I wonder why we don't talk about that. And I talked about a little bit and people got a little bit weird about it, so I quit. Because it's not salvation. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's just this little and guess what? Now there are books published on that little and I'm like, yes! You know, because of, you know why it is? Because of science. The very thing, the very people that are saying, well, you know, there's no God because, you know, the more they get into it, guess what they just say? They go, wow. Wow, it's bigger than we thought. It's what? But there has to be a creator, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I went home, please don't do this to teach me a lesson. If I went home and there was Bruce Stinks written with red paint on the side of my house, okay, I would know there was an author to that. Correct. Somebody did, my house didn't create red paint and it come to the front and then it spelled out Bruce Stinks on the side. Correct. Would you say that'd be probably a rare occurrence?
Yes.
Like it wouldn't happen? But there'd be an author, probably somebody that lived in the neighborhood. Are you? Oh, it just takes longer. Yeah, okay. Because the tree limb would come over and Bruce Stinks. Yeah, whatever. No, it ain't. That ain't right. As we say back home, that ain't right. That ain't right. Ain't nobody got time for that. Okay. So, I'd forgotten about that. I watched it again the other day. Ain't nobody got time for that. I got the bronchitis. Okay. Y'all remember that? I watched that every day for like 6 months. I was like, it was just like I had it for breakfast every morning. It was just, yes. Ain't nobody got time for that. That needs to be my theme song. Okay. Burn, burn, burn. Ain't nobody got time for that. Burn, burn, burn. Okay. So, here's it says, all of your works shall praise you. I'm going to tell you something. I am not a scientist. I've been to school and I passed some of it. And no, I did. And got a degree of different shapes and sizes, you know, the best I could pay for. But anyway, but the point being, the bottom line is this, guys. Nature itself screams of God.
Amen.
It screams of it. It says, God, our God reigns. Every flower, and which we have, Irene's on her way to pick up the rest of the family at the airport, but her and Kim's been out there digging in the dirt. Go by our house. It's something. Like, somebody needs to enjoy it because I haven't. I haven't enjoyed it. Paying for it or watching. Okay. But anyway, and having a tote to mulch it. Okay, never mind. I'm not complaining at all because I'm a good man. Anyway, but the bottom line is this. His works praise you and your saints. Okay. Now, this word saint here, actually, I love this word. Okay. Do you know this word saint is an old word? Okay. And the reason I like it is not because you think I'm going to like it. The reason. The way someone becomes a saint. I'm talking about the vernacular. I'm not talking about spiritual. Is somebody else makes that decision. There, it's made by people saying they're a saint. And I want to tell you something. Any goodness I have has been given to me by God. Somebody else made that decision. If he's calling me a saint, I'm not saying this to be funny. It's because of the blood of Jesus. It's because of his grace. It's because of his mercy. It's because of his love. And I want to tell you, you know, I use the word believer a lot. I use the word, you know, of the family of God. I don't use the word saint because I'm scared of it a little bit. But as I look at it, I want to tell you, now Kim, on the other hand, has been put in for sainthood. And they said something crazy about it because she'd been with me for 43 years. That kind of hurts my feelings. Why would that make her a saint? I mean, that just make her blessed, right? Maybe not, okay. So, and they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power and make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. And that's, we're gonna stop here. I'm actually gonna mark it right there. Or not. Okay, we'll just say 13. So here's the deal. I'll stop here because we got to. The bottom line is this. What are you doing with your life? Because I want to tell you, there are people who are in the Bible who were writing portions of the Bible or part of the Bible is written about them. Okay? And you know what? They were not in a full-time ministry. They were shepherds. They were cupbearers. They were out there making a living, doing the best they can. And Paul, while he's busy about, I will never forget this, while he's busy writing half or third, at least a third of the New Testament, probably more, he's making tents. He's got a side hustle. Anybody in here ever have a side hustle? Praise the Lord. Okay, or two. Anyway. But the bottom line is, guys, let's be about his business, and let's choose that today. Father, thank you so much for these folks. God, bless them, keep them, let your light shine on them, and give them peace. Bring them to you. You left the 99 for the lost. So, Lord, as we do this, as, yeah, we're the black sheep of the family. But Lord, we are looking for the lost sheep of your family. So he says this morning, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you because it's easy and light. And man, what a beautiful story and message from him this morning. God, thank you. Watch over and keep us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Like and share, and last week we had 600 views, and it keeps getting bigger, and I've had someone tell me to please tell people to share it, and he said,